thank you very much for coming. We'll read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Chapter 3, Text 24. Utside yuri med loka nakuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyam ima prajaha. Lord Krishna said, if I do not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. Purport. Varnasankara is unwanted population which disturbs the peace of the general society. In order to check this social disturbance, there are prescribed rules and regulations by which the population can automatically become peaceful and organized for spiritual progress in life. When Lord Krishna descends, naturally he deals with such rules and regulations in order to maintain the prestige and necessity of such important performances. The Lord is the Father of all living entities, and if the living entities are misguided, indirectly the responsibility goes to the Lord. Therefore, whenever there is general disregard of regulative principles, the Lord himself descends and corrects the society. We should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate him. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta kam shana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu sute devi Pranamami hari priye Vansha kalpitarubhyascha Kripa sindho bhyayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare In this section of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is urging Arjuna to perform his prescribed duty of fighting. Arjuna was a kshatriya, a military man, and it was his duty to fight. On account of illusion, he was declining. He was falsely thinking, this is my grandfather, these are my cousin brothers, these are my other relatives, these are my... And Krishna said, this is all nonsense because you're thinking in terms of this body only. You're thinking that the body is the self. And so in relationship to the body, this is my this, this is my that, this is my this. And further, you're thinking that you can kill these people, which is not possible. Nayam hanti nahanyate. No one's going to be killed here. Because the real person is the soul. The soul is eternal. You can't kill anyone. No one can be killed. So your whole thinking is on the platform of illusion, not on the platform of reality. And on account of this illusion, you're pleading to abandon your duty. Dharma means duty. Dharmasya glani. When there's discrepancies or neglect of prescribed duties, the Lord comes. Tadatman sujamya. The whole idea of a divine society is that it's a society where we perform our duties under the direction of the personality of Godhead. The idea of modern society is that it's a world where everyone's free and we all do what we want. If I like it, I do it. If it appeals to me, I do it. If I think I'll enjoy by doing it, I'll do it. And therefore we have a mess. We have a society in which there's no higher understanding of what a human being is meant for, what his purpose in life is, what he should do, what he shouldn't do, what his duty is. All that starts to dribble away. And what comes to be prominent is what I want to do, what I can do, what I like to do, what appeals to me, what I don't want to do. Which was Arjuna's platform. I don't want to fight. So Krishna wants to establish that every one of us has a duty to perform and that we should perform that duty in Krishna consciousness. The Lord has given the example of great souls like Janak Maharaj, the father-in-law of Lord Ramchandra, who performed his prescribed duties. Janak Adiya, Janak and many other kings. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tat tadeve tarojana. Whatever a great person does, common people will follow. So you're a leader, you have to perform that duty. Then the Lord says, even I follow prescribed duties. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana, nanavaptam avaptavyam. Then?
Nanavaptam avaptavyam. Varte evacha karmani.
The Lord says, for me, there's no duty to perform. I'm God. No one can tell me what to do. No one can impose upon me some rules or regulations. I'm Swarat. I'm completely independent. And yet I also perform prescribed duties. I also follow the principles of prescribed duties. And the Lord says, because if I didn't, then everybody would follow my path. They'd all say, well, Krishna doesn't, why should I? And if I did that, then the whole world would become degraded. Sankarasya Chakartasyam. I'd become the cause of unwanted population. You may ask, well, what's prescribed duties have to do with unwanted population? But when we don't follow prescribed duties, then it gradually comes to the stage that people have sex life like dogs and monkeys. And then you get unwanted population. People who are born just out of lust and chance. Bastards, so many of them. And then they can't understand the higher purposes of life. They're just born with that passionate, ignorant nature. And so often unwanted, not only unwanted by society, even unwanted by their own parents. And they become a cause of social chaos. So the Lord says, I don't want to be the cause of that. So I very carefully perform my prescribed duties so that others will follow. Now Srila Prabhupada says, we should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate him. Following and imitating are not on the same level. We cannot imitate the Lord by lifting Govardhan Hill as the Lord did in his childhood. It's impossible for any human being. We have to follow his instructions, but we may not imitate him at any time. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms, Naitat samacharej jatu manasapi hanisharaha vinashyat svatvacharan modhyad yatarudrobti jambisham isharanam vachasatyam tataiva charitam kvachit tesham yatsva vacho yuktam burimams tat samacharet. One should simply follow the instructions of the Lord and his empowered servants. Their instructions are all good for us, and any intelligent person will perform them as instructed. However, one should guard against trying to imitate their actions. One should not try to drink the ocean of poison in imitation of Lord Shiva. We should always consider the position of the Isharas, or those who can actually control the movements of the sun and moon, as superior. Without such power, one cannot imitate the Isharas, who are super powerful. Lord Shiva drank poison to the extent of swallowing an ocean. But if any common man tries to drink even a fragment of such poison, he will be killed. There are many pseudo-devotees of Lord Shiva who want to indulge in smoking ganja and similar intoxicating drugs, forgetting that by so imitating the acts of Lord Shiva, they are calling death very near. Similarly, there are some pseudo-devotees of Lord Krishna who prefer to imitate the Lord in his Rasa-lila, forgetting their inability to lift Govardhan Hill. It is best, therefore, that one not try to imitate the powerful, but simply follow their instructions nor should one try to occupy their posts without qualification. There are so many incarnations of God without the power of the Supreme Godhead. So an important distinction here is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme controller. And therefore, although he may follow prescribed duties, he's also free to do things that are outside the realm of ordinary human activity. And if we try to imitate, well, let me also do that, then we're fools. Then we're fools. People are very eager sometimes to be known as incarnations of God, and even to try to enjoy the prerogatives of God. But they don't have the qualifications of God. And Srila Prabhupada gives two examples here. One is that of Lord Shiva, who has a marijuana habit. He enjoys smoking ganja. Or for whatever reason, he smokes it. So then you get sadhus who think that they're also great souls because they smoke ganja. They imitate Lord Shiva. They don't follow Lord Shiva. The Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Actually, Lord Shiva is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He's always engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord, meditating on the Lord. But rather than follow Lord Shiva, the so-called Shivites imitate him. They also pick up a trident. They also get some ganja. And typically they also pick up some woman, because now I'm Ishara and this is my Shakti. But when it comes to drinking the ocean of poison, no, we'll leave that to Lord Shiva. They can't do it. So they don't have the qualifications of the super powerful, and yet they want to imitate the super powerful rather than follow the instructions of the super powerful. So that means that they're ruining their lives. The other example Srila Prabhupada gives is that there are people who are eager to imitate Lord Krishna by mixing with young girls. And they playfully, yes, I'm also like Krishna. But Lord Krishna, yes, he mixed with young girls. In fact, he danced with hundreds and hundreds of young girls. But he expanded himself into hundreds and hundreds of Krishnas to do it. He married 16,108 wives and expanded into 16,108 Krishnas to do it. That they can't do. They can just mix with a few little girls and maybe stick a peacock feather in their hat. Yeah, I'm also like Krishna. Nonsense rascals. And what to speak of lifting Govardhan Hill? They can maybe lift a few weights. That also with some struggle. And for that also they need their full strength of both arms, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with one finger of his left hand. what can they do? And yet they're claiming Bhagavan. Their Prabhupada said that India is a good place for, just like in America, we manufacture so many things. These days, China, they manufacture computers, they manufacture every kind of electronics. And India manufactures gods. So many gods manufactured in what Prabhupada called the mystic factory. And they're coming out and cheating. And sometimes they mix their mysticism with democratic values. So I'm God, but you're also God. We're all God. There's more foolishness. If I'm God, first of all, what do I need you for to tell me? If I'm God, why am I suffering like a dog? These considerations, they don't think. They just pick up some philosophy. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. We just have to realize that we're God. This is all rascaldom. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsabritya. There's one supreme personality of Godhead, and he demands sarvadharman pratyajya mam ekam sharanam. Just surrender to me. Don't try to become me. Or pretend that you were always me. You've just forgotten that you're me. It's such foolishness. Krishna never forgot everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chaputani. I know everything. I know everything about the past. I know everything about the present. I know everything about the future. These rascals don't know anything about the future. They don't really know the past. And they're bewildered about the present. And they're claiming to be Bhagavan. Therefore, the Lord says, Mam tu veda na kaschana. Hardly anyone knows me. To actually know Krishna, one has to become a devotee of Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Yavanyas chasmi tatvata. By devotional service, one can understand Krishna in fact, not bluffing. I'm also Krishna, you're also Krishna. Factually, one can understand the science of Krishna. Tato mam tatvato gyatva visate tadanantaram. And by understanding Krishna, one can go back to Krishna. This life will be finished. That's a fact for everyone. And then, tata dehantara prapti. I have to go somewhere else. Where will I go? If I have no faith in Krishna, or the science of Krishna, the science of Krishna consciousness as described in the Bhagavad Gita, Ashradhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam, then I can't reach Krishna. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartante. And if we don't reach Krishna, instead we have to continue, drag on in this path of repeated birth and death. So Krishna consciousness means, why should we go on dragging on in this cycle of birth and death? Is that our business? That's our diseased condition. And the human life is meant for curing that disease. That's the real purpose. Well, that purpose can be achieved when we understand the science of Krishna as spoken by Krishna and as coming in the Parampara system, or the line of pure devotees who teach this science of Krishna consciousness. So it's a simple thing, actually. People have invented so many bogus things. They've invented so many bogus things and mixed that up with spirituality. They invent some method of sense gratification, and then they call that spiritual. Just follow, just do it. Whatever your heart tells you, do that, because you're also part of God, so your whatever your heart tells you is divine. And then idiots will praise them as great philosophers. Naturally, because if I preach that do what you want, then you'll say, yes, actually, you're a great soul. So the fools are praised by other fools. Or they'll mix up the spiritual science with nationalism, patriotism. And again, it's nonsense. Again, the bodily concept of life. I am Indian. I am American. That means I'm this body. I wave a flag for my bodily designation. That means I'm waving a flag for my foolishness. I'm waving a flag for my foolishness. India is Mera Bharat Mahan. How is it your Bharat? It's Krishna's, not yours. And it's his Bharat, it's his Pakistan, it's his Bangladesh, it's his America, it's his Africa, it's his, the whole world is his. Not only this world, Sarvalokamaheshwar. All the worlds belong to him. So what is this Mera Bharat? Mera Maya Mahan. But people mix it up. And then you get this hodgepodge of patriotism and dharma. Or else you get this rascaldom Hindu dharma, which is again rubbish. Just an excuse for why we should have power and you should not have power, and how we manipulate the sentiments of these people or those people. Again, it's cheating. What is this Hindu dharma? People are doing all rubbish. Hindu dharma, in Bhagavad Gita, do we find Hindu dharma? No, I don't think so. It's in the 19th chapter. And even if there were such a thing as Hindu dharma, or even if there is such a thing as Hindu dharma, the Lord says, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja. Give up your nonsense, this dharma, that dharma. Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, just surrender to me. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami. Then I'll give you liberation from material existence. But we mix it up and we make a hodgepodge of spiritual teaching and political teaching and nationalism and family values and all this stuff rolled up into one. And we neglect Krishna's direct order. You rascals, surrender. Well, this is the unfortunate state of Kali Yuga. And in this unfortunate age, which is just like an ocean of faults, the only good thing is this Harinam Sankirtan. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hyeka mahangunaha kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha parampajet. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it said that the Kali Yuga, this age that we're in, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, is like an ocean of faults. I mean, you can't see the end of it. Wave after wave of degradation. Astihi ekamahan gunaha. There's one good thing. What is that? Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajay. Just by the Krishna Kirtan, the glorification of Krishna, one can get freed from material entanglement, Param Vrajay, and go back home, back to Godhead. When we leave this body, we have to go somewhere. Either it's to another lifetime, and we don't know where or in what species of life, or it's back to Krishna. So the greatness of the Harinam Sankirtan is that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can go back home, back to Godhead, even amidst all the faults of Kali Yuga. Therefore, it's said in the Bhagavatam that Yajnaya Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. Those who are endowed with good intelligence will worship the personality of Godhead who appears in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simple thing. We don't have to become great philosophers, great scholars, great rich men, great performers of rituals. Simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna and be engaged in Krishna's service. For those who want philosophy, we have a sufficient supply of books. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And take Krishna prasadam. Simple instruction. These activities will purify the heart in such a way that our whole life can be purified. Doesn't mean we have to go off to the forest. Arjuna was not advised by Lord Krishna, off to the forest. Just the opposite. Arjuna is saying, let me go off to the forest. Or let me just die here, unarmed, unresisting. Krishna says, no. Yudhyashva, fight. Why? It's your duty. You may win, you may lose, but this is what you're supposed to do. Every one of us has some duty to perform, either as brahmacharis or as married men, sannyasis. We should perform our duties in Krishna's service, chant Hare Krishna, and make our life successful. Hare Krishna. That's the exit music? Okay. I wonder what sort of questions you might have. Yeah, looks like there's a space issue. You might want everyone move forward as far as you conveniently can. No, it's still not clicked on.
In Gita Mahatmya, Shankaracharya says that Ekam Gitam, Ekam means Gita Gangotakam Pitva Punar Janmane Vidyate. And Gitam, Gita Shastra means one God, one Shastra means one Mahamantra. So this like you mean to say is that we should be Krishna centric and not I centric by this your lecture today. Your message is that only, but why then it is happening like that? Means people know what is what, but they are not following it. Why Krishna is means having his Maya on us?
Say that. Why is Krishna imposing Maya on us? Everything's there in Shastra, so why are we in Maya? Because we're not following. Why are we not following? Because we don't want to follow. Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan in 1970s on Janmashtami, and there was a big festival held, and the big newspapers were invited, like the New York Times. And they came, and the reporter for the New York Times, if I have it right, asked Srila Prabhupada that if God wants us to be freed from this materialistic life, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada said, because your purpose is not strong. To get out of Maya is not so hard. If we want to get out, but we don't. Some story is there. Same question was asked, and the person who was asked the question, he was in a king's palace, he grabbed onto a pillar and started crying, "Let me go, let me go, let me go." The pillar is not holding you, but we're holding the pillar. So it's at the core a misuse of our own free will, which is responsible for our present condition. Prabhupada gave the example, if my palm is held like this, it's in the light. If I turn my hand like this, it's in the darkness. So it's up to us whether to turn toward Krishna or away from Krishna. When we turn toward Krishna, we make progress. And that turning toward Krishna should be dridhena, with determination also. Then we can go. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your wonderful lecture. My question is, in the verse which you read, Lord Krishna is advising Arjuna to perform his prescribed duties. Now, in the practical life, we all know that we would like to perform our duties, but there are so many obstructions and obstacles which comes in our way to perform our prescribed duties, which in fact distracts us and pulls us away from the devotional service. So, how do we ensure that while performing the duty, as advised by Krishna, we still continue to have unalloyed devotional service to the lordships? Thank you, Prabhuji.
Krishna is advising Arjuna to perform his prescribed duties. We have so many obstructions and obstacles in the way of our duties. How do we perform our duties and not be deviated from devotional service to the Lord? First thing is that Arjuna had a lot of obstacles in the way of his prescribed duties. Bhishma Dev, his grandfather, Dronacharya, his guru, then Duryodhana and company, his cousin, brothers. It was certainly more than an obstacle. He came in front of the armies, Krishna, show me who's there. Then he saw who's there. Then, no, I can't fight. Too painful. So we're not the first to have obstacles, obstructions. But the Lord says, no, you have to perform your duty. And that's half the formula. The other half is to think of me. Mam anusmara, yujyacha. Anusmara smara means remember. And anu means two things. It means always, constantly remember. And it means by following. So we're meant to perform our duties, but if we simply perform our duties, we're wasting our time. Dharmas vinustita pumsam bisvakshena katasuyat not padiyed yadiratim shramevihi kevalam. Bhagavatam says that if we perform our duties very nicely, according to varna and ashram, everything very nicely performed, and we don't develop our eagerness to hear about Krishna, then we're wasting our time. It's a useless waste of time. So, mam anusmara, the crucial thing is to remember Krishna. Always, or regularly, always, and by following the directions of a bona fide spiritual master. Following in the footsteps of the great souls. There may be so many difficulties. There must be so many difficulties. Therefore, we have to learn the science of carrying out our duties in such a way that we'll always remember Krishna. The Mahamantra is therefore crucial, that by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll think of Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada said there's no difference between chanting Hare Krishna and thinking of Krishna. You're chanting naturally. Krishna's there. So the devotee is trained, seriously, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And what is the result? Then he thinks of Krishna. He thinks of Krishna. Then, yasmin stato nidukena gurunapi vichalyate. Then even in the greatest difficulty, the heaviest difficulty, he's not deviated. He remains fixed in Krishna consciousness. So it's a question of training and taking the training very seriously. It's not a casual enterprise. Krishna is offering the greatest perfection. Mukta Sangha Parambraje. To go back to Godhead. And never come back. Yad gatva nanivartante. But it's not cheap. Meditate 15 minutes in the morning, meditate 15 minutes in the evening, and the rest of the time do what you like. It's not a cheap thing. How to have a happier life. How to get better, to perform more effectively in every department of your life. It's all rubbish. That's taken as a spiritual thing. How you do better in your work, how you do better in your married life, how you perform better in your test scores, how your everything, your relationships, all this, and you never think of Krishna. That means shrama evihi kevalam. It's all rejected as useless. What? I improved my career. I improved my peace of mind. I improved my relationship with my wife and family and neighbors. And you're saying it's a waste of time? Yes. Because it will all be finished. And you'll come back as an insect and you'll get a promotion in your career. What career? No, I built very nice anthills. And I have a nice relationship with everyone else in the ant colony. Purpose of human life is not to get better test scores and a better job and have a nice, nice relationship with the people around me. It's to get out of this material world. Not to be more comfortable and harmoniously situated in prison. That's another cheating. People take that as very nice. Religion is good if it helps this make this a better world. No. It may or may not help make this a better world. It will. But that's beside the point. real point is to get out of this world. You can't stay anyway. No one can stay in this life. Maribharat Mahan. Next time it may be Marib Pakistan. Maricongo Mahan. How long will it be Maribharat? 50 years, 20 years, 100 years? Then we have to go someplace else. And then you don't know what it's going to be. But I invested all my energy in being nicely situated, career, family, patriotism. That means wasting the opportunity of the human life. We should perform our duties in this present lifetime. And whatever happiness is meant to come to us will come to us. No, I don't believe it. No. Prahlad Maharaj says, here's the evidence. You don't want misery, it comes to you automatically. So if misery is coming automatically, happiness will automatically come. As much as destined. So we shouldn't waste our time with that. Our time should be invested in how to get free from this material existence. Then as far as possible, I'll be happy in this life, but more important, in the next life, my freedom will be there. Is that okay? Why not? We're having a sale today.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for allowing me the opportunity to ask you a second question. Another question is, as we all know, Prabhuji, that we are the eternal servants of Lord Krishna, as our original identity is to serve Krishna eternally. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna that, O Arjuna, whoever attains me will never fall down. That's my promise. Mm. So my question is, Prabhuji, we were already with Lord Krishna, serving him in the Goloka Vrindavana once upon a time. Then is Krishna violating his own promise to Arjuna that you will never fall down?
No.
Thank you.
This old question, if we're with Krishna, how do we fall down? Therefore, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that since time immemorial we've been conditioned souls. No one can trace when it began, how it began, but since time immemorial we're averse to the service of Krishna. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you come back to me, you'll never fall. You'll never again. Yajgatva na punar moham yasasi pandava. Once you know this, once you're established in your eternal in knowledge of your eternal relationship with me, you'll never fall down again. So we take Krishna at his word. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, though we hear very often theoretically that, you know, that Krishna is God, and for me at least, I'm also chanting. But probably the impersonalist conception is so deep in the heart that it doesn't go away so easily, even though we are chanting. So is there anything particular that we should do, or is there any particular way we should chant in so that, you know, this impersonalistic conception can go?
The impersonalism is deep-rooted in the heart, so what to do? Yeah, we have to take anti-impersonalism shots. The recommendation is that we hear about the personality of Godhead. Tasmad partha sarvatma bhagavan ishro harihi. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us that book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which even impersonalists become personalists. Shukadev Goswami testified that I was a pakka impersonalist. I was self-satisfied. I was attracted to that. Not only attracted, you know, we're attracted to the impersonal feature, and at the same time we're attracted to sense gratification, we're attracted to so many things. And often it's like really a veneer. My real thing is sense gratification, and I paint over it some impersonal philosophy. Everything's one, we're all God, blah, 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 and therefore I can do whatever I want. You know, it's just like a cheap cover-up. I'm a very spiritual person, because while I'm acting like a cat or dog, I'm realizing that actually everything is one. Shukadeva Goswami wasn't that kind of impersonalist. He actually realized the impersonal feature of the Absolute, and therefore he was completely detached from material interest. The Bhagavatam records, he was walking, and he walked by a tank where some ladies were bathing. And according to the local custom, they'd taken off their saris and they're bathing in the water naked. And then they're on the banks and himself. So Shukadeva Goswami, he was 19 years old, and he's passing by these ladies. Ladies didn't even bother to put their clothes on. Why not? They could see from his face, he's like a child. You know, if a child is there, the ladies don't get all embarrassed and flustered. He's a child. Doesn't know one thing from another thing. No sexual interest in a child. So the women don't get bothered. So they saw Sukadeva Goswami is passing by. They could see from his face, he's like a child. They didn't even wonder about it. And Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva was following. My son, where are you going? Because Shukadeva Goswami had just appeared from the womb of his mother after 19 years. And then he went away. Vyasadeva, where are you going? Where are you going? My son. So then Shukadeva is going. Now Vyasadeva is coming. He's passing by the same ladies. They put their clothes on real fast. Because he was a householder. Householder has to know the difference between a man and a woman. But Shukadeva Goswami, they didn't even bother. So that means he was so detached from any material interest that even the difference between man and woman wasn't even something that registered with him as significant. That level of spiritual realization. And Shukadeva Goswami says that although I was such an impersonalist, I was attracted by hearing the narrations of the pastimes of Krishna. Atmaramascha muniyo nirgranta apyurukrame kurvanti hoitakim paktim ittam bhuta gunahari. Even persons who are completely satisfied in spiritual realization no longer have any interest in any material enjoyment. Even they become attracted by the pastimes of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave us this book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By hearing this Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, discussing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, even an impersonalist like Shukadeva Goswami will be attracted. Even a materialist, someone will say, well, all right, but I'm not Shukadeva Goswami, I'm not on that high level of spiritual realization. Bhagavatam says, no, even the materialist will be attracted. How is that? We like to hear about war and fighting. That's also there in Krishna's pastime. He's fighting with this asura, he's fighting with that asura. Now, we like to hear about activities between in family life. No, Krishna has family life like nobody else. We want to hear great love story and drama. Hear about how Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. Everything is there in Krishna's pastimes. the materialist will also be attracted. This is a great story. Even if they think that this is something like the activities of an ordinary husband and wife or an ordinary boy and girl, still they're attracted. Gopis weren't attracted to Krishna because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were attracted because he was attractive. So Krishna has abundant transcendental attractive qualities, unlimited transcendental attractive qualities. So if we hear about these topics in the association of pure devotees, our minds will be attracted. Not from the impersonalists, not from the mundane scholars, not from patriots and so many other people. But if we hear from the devotees of the Lord about these activities of Krishna, naturally they attract the mind. Naturally they attract the mind. And personalism really doesn't have anything to hold on to. How long can you meditate on the one? Advaya Brahma. Can't. Nothing to stick the mind on. But thinking of Krishna, you can go on and on and on and on. So we should do it. That's the thing. It's not just talk that yes, 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 and then I put the book on my shelf. But if I actually read these activities and discuss them with devotees, yeah, the effect will be there. Okay.
Is there anything that we should be kept in our mind that we should be careful about while chanting also?
Yes. Is there anything we should keep in mind and be careful about while we're chanting? Yes. 10 kinds of offenses. Not that we have to meditate on a picture of Krishna or imagine or fix the mind on Krishna doing this or Krishna doing that. Or no. Just hear the sound attentively. And avoid 10 offenses. Don't blaspheme devotees of the Lord. Don't minimize the value of Shastra. Don't neglect the order of the spiritual master. Don't think that the glories of the holy name are imaginary. Don't concoct some explanation of the holy name of the Lord. Don't think that chanting Hare Krishna, and Shiva, Shiva, Durga, Durga is the same thing. Krishna is above all the other devatas, and his holy name is above all other names. Don't make that mistake. Don't think that, well, now that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, this so-called sinful activity won't affect me. I can do it and chant, and everything will be all right. Don't do that. Don't explain the glories of the Lord to the faithless persons, and don't be inattentive while chanting the holy name. So in this way, there are 10. Did I cover them all, or did I miss any? We got most of them, if not all. We should avoid these 10 offenses. And then that's called quality chanting. Quality chanting. In the beginning, we'll commit one or more of these offenses. But by chanting sincerely, the offenses start to subside, and we come to the clearing stage where the offenses diminish, and finally one can come to the perfect stage, the stage of pure chanting. Is that okay? Back to you. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So my question is somewhat related. We all know that mind is very difficult to conquer. It keeps on wandering here and there. Now, despite our best efforts while chanting, mind keeps on wandering. We know that it's not good, but again we bring it back, again it goes back. So how do I ensure that...
What do we do about the mind which keeps wandering? Even abhyasa yoga yuktena. Krishna says practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. paramam purusham divyam yati partana chintayat. By practicing, we'll come to the stage where the mind won't go here and there. And then we can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is that practice? Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atman yeva visham nayev. What is the business of the mind? To wander. Nischalati. Nischalati means hard to pin down. It wants to go here, it wants to go there. Wants to wander and romp all over the countryside. Then what to do? Yato yato nischalati, manas chanchalam, this fickle mind, astiram, unsteady mind, wherever it goes. Yata yata means wherever and wherever and wherever it goes. Tatas tata, from that place or the other place, niyam yaitat. One should bring it back under control. Atman yeva vishamnaye, and fix it back on the sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We know that the mind will wander. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. This is how you train a bull also. The bull's business is supposed to be to move around in the circle and thresh the grain. But the untrained bull wants to go this way, it wants to go this way, it wants to go that way, it wants to go the other way. But by training and training and training and training, finally the bull gets the idea. I keep going around and around and around and around, and then they feed me very nicely, and I don't get whipped, and the grain gets threshed, and everything's fine. In the beginning, it doesn't understand that. Let me try this, let me try that. But when it's trained, then it works very nicely. Even a child wants to do this, wants to do that, wants to do this, wants to do that. If he's properly trained, then he learns. No, I have to sit down and do my study. I have to do this, I have to do that. He gets the idea. No, I have to get up in the morning. I have to do this and this and this. If he's trained nicely, then it becomes automatic. If he's not trained, then he remains a wild kid. And then he grows up to be a wild adult. But when he's trained nicely, then he learns. Therefore, the brahmachari training is there in the Vedic culture. So that at the early age, when it's easiest, the mind can be trained, the activities of life are, and the child is trained in such a way that the activities of his life become regular and spiritually directed. So then his whole life becomes nice from the very beginning. It's easier. But anyway, better late than never. Whenever we catch the train, we should practice. Hold on. We're going to make your life easier by sending you a microphone. And the switch is on the bottom of it.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah, my question is very simple. I mean, it's very easy for a developed nation to laugh at a nation which is at a developing stage or termed as a poor nation. And a similar example can be termed as a rich man or laughing at a poor person or a poor society or poor sections of society. And it's again the same thing. I mean, either you come out of the distress, either you come out of that particular society, that particular community, and you prove yourself this particular individual. For example, as an individual, you belong to another section of society or another community where you get all the praise and you get all these about happiness and this and that. But it's again the same thing. What life can be made easier? Would that be at the same place where you stay, where you live, and you keep your values intact?
Let's see if I get your question here.
The question was simple. The question is related to the second or third question which was asked by the devotee over there. Wherever you work, but if you keep your values intact, you keep your principles intact, then
Let's see. There are developed nations and undeveloped nations, and there are rich families and poor families, and there are maybe more culturally advanced families and culturally less advanced families. So then the question is, well, it's easy if you come from a rich family, rich nation, developed nation, highly cultured nation, and if you don't, then it's really hard. So first we have to develop the nation or develop the economic situation of our family, and then we can become Krishna conscious. Is that the issue?
I'm making my question very simple again. For example,
maybe you should make it hard so that I can get it.
It's again the same thing where a cub or an eagle or a child of an eagle or something. An individual which is very, very cultured, which has his values intact and which belongs to the higher section of society. But God forbidden, he is in the lower section of society. But he belongs to the well-cultured or the well-mannered kind of people or something. So it's the amount of opportunities, which makes the difference.
Here's the opportunity. The opportunity is when we get the association of devotees of the Lord. My particular work these days is working in Africa. And I'm working in countries like Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Togo, Congo. These are not first world countries. They have wealth, oil and so on, but it's plundered by every other country that can get their hands on it. And the people remain generally quite poor. And their educational opportunities are not like the opportunities of first world countries or second world countries. And their cultural background is not an Aryan culture. And they become wonderful devotees. Our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I think there'll be a drama about him, I heard, in the next day or so. He was an American devotee, African-American devotee. He went to Africa. He preached in all these countries. And they've become wonderful devotees. You go to West Africa, we have big temples, bigger than this temple, some of our temples. Bigger than this temple, Radha Krishna deities, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, cooking an offering to the deity, dressing the deity. And who's doing it? All Africans. Giving class, preaching. So, how is it possible? They're not only the most educated Africans, the most affluent Africans. Ordinary Africans. Some of them are more educated, some of them are less educated, some had better families, but they're all wonderful devotees. chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping Krishna, thinking of Krishna, speaking about Krishna, preaching about Krishna, distributing books about Krishna, following the principles of Krishna consciousness. Because it doesn't depend on any material qualification. Vahaitaki apratiyata. Not that I have to be a very rich man, I have to be very highly educated, I have to be highly cultured, I have to come from a good family, I have to be born a Brahmin or this or that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's no material qualification for becoming Krishna conscious. And rather often these things are disqualifications. Now I'm educated. Why should I believe in these shastras, blah, 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 according to Professor such and such. Blah, 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 blah. He's so learned he can't understand anything. And he's got money, so what do I care? And he comes from an aristocratic family, so he's well-connected and all that. So he's janma, he has birth, aisharya, opulence, shruta, good-looking, shri, wealthy. And it's all disqualification. Because he becomes proud of all these things, and therefore he can't surrender to Krishna. He can't chant Hare Krishna. Because he's of his pride. It's not that if I'm wealthy I can't chant, but I become proud and then why should I chant? So again, it doesn't matter. Wealthy, poor, educated, not educated, great nation, insignificant nation. Now India has the greatest assets. It has the heritage of Sanatan Dharma. It has a society where still so many values are there. It has so many temples, so many Tirthasthans. And the Africans are more advanced in Krishna consciousness. At least those Africans. Those Africans are more advanced than so many pious Hindus, so many flag-waving Hindus. They're waving a flag for Hinduism, and then they go on the airplane and drink vodka and so many things. And these African people are following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, worshipping Tulsi, surrendering their lives, preaching the message of Krishna. So then what to speak? That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi syu papayona. Even the sinful persons, tepi yanti paramgatim, if they surrender to me, if they take shelter of me, they can attain the highest destination. Kim punar brahmana punya, what is that? Rajarshiyastata? Kim punar. What's the magic? Bhakta Rajarshiyastata. So even if all these sinful people, if they take shelter of me, can attain perfection, what then to speak of the actual Brahmins, the actual Rajarsis, or the devotees? You see? So let's take it that you're here in India, you have the advantage. Now if you take the advantage, then you can score the goal. You can go back to Godhead. If you neglect it, then you can watch the Africans go back to Godhead while you wave your flag. Thank you. Do you still have that microphone? It left you. Okay. So what is your question? Yeah, the lotus, even though it grows from mud, pankaja, still, it's such a wonderful flower. So a devotee may come from India, he may come from America, may come from Africa, he may come from Australia, he may come from China, he may come from Russia, may come from anywhere, but the devotees are the best flowers of this world. When we want to emphasize a point, we say it more than once. Krishna twice says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. So, do it, do it, do it. Hadir nama, hadir nama, hadir nama eva kevalam. Kalo nascheva, nascheva, nascheva gatir anyata. Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Well, you said it was the last question. Maybe we'll stop there. Am I right? I have?
Until 3 p.m.
I have 20 minutes. Okay.
There are many organizations who pose themselves as spiritual, but in order to get many followers, they are preaching a certain kind of philosophy, which is called, they say that just enjoy life, like we talk about afterlife, and therefore accordingly performing our actions. But they preach, who has seen the afterlife? There is no life after death, just enjoy. And especially even the families who have everything to enjoy, they find it very attractive. And they also argue that who has seen life after this? So why should we worry about that? So how do we answer such kind of queries?
There are, religious people who are preaching, or not religious, anyway, some people.
They pose themselves as the religious.
They pose themselves as religion, and they say, but this one life is everything. And so just enjoy, don't think about any future life.
If you ask them what is the goal of, what happens after death, they don't have any answer.
If you ask them what happens after death, they don't have any answer.
It's all vague, they say, who has seen it?
Yeah. Charvak Muni's philosophy. Beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow or other get ghee and enjoy. And don't worry about any reaction, because in the future there's nothing, it's all over. In the Hindu community also, even if there's a next life, still the theme is enjoyment. Let me do punya karma so that I'll get good results in this life. I'll get happiness. I'll get wealth. Let me pray to this God. Let me pray to that God. And then I'll get this. I'll get that. And maybe those who are more serious, after this, I'll go to heaven. I'll go to Swarg and continue the enjoyment program. And they don't seem to know that in Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, Kshine punye marcha lokam vishanti, even after you go to Swarg, you'll have to come back down here and you're back to square one. Well, this is the, everyone is, it's not some so-called spiritual group, the whole world. Enjoyment. Enjoy, enjoy, and enjoy. What's the Coca-Cola slogan? Enjoy. Whatever your idea of enjoyment is, we have it for you. Vote for us, we'll give you enjoyment. Come to our store, we'll give you enjoyment. Buy our product, we'll give you enjoyment. Subscribe to our ideology, we'll give you enjoyment. Everyone is going on in that way. So it's difficult, of course, to convince fools, because they're the most intelligent people. There's many things that can be said. There's many things that can be said. I've written a book which will be published sometime this year, where I devote considerable length to discussing this idea, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. One thing is, there's no guarantee that you can enjoy even in this life. It's rather, the guarantee is that you'll suffer. That's guaranteed. Suffering is guaranteed. Old age, disease, death, guaranteed. And where is the prospect that I'll enjoy? Even the biggest enjoyers are suffering. The biggest stars, the biggest Bollywood names, the biggest wealthy men, they're suffering. They're the wealthiest men and they're fighting in their own family. They're the wealthiest men and their families are a wreck. There's no guarantee that just because you pursue enjoyment, you'll get it, or just because you get the things that are supposed to be the substance of enjoyment, you'll enjoy. Next guarantee is you'll get old and you won't be able to enjoy, if you live that long. If you live into old age, where's the enjoyment? You can't eat nicely. Sex is pretty poor. And then you've dedicated your life to enjoyment, and now that you've reached maturity, you can't have it. Because the machinery is falling apart, which is what it does. So it's pathetic that you're dedicating your life to this dream of enjoyment. And what do you have to do to enjoy? You have to work like a dog. How are you going to enjoy? With money, right? Money and women. Well, if you want women, you have to have money. Because either you have to buy one or you have to attract one. So you need money. How are you going to get money? You're going to work. Tell me how enjoyable work is. But you're going to work. Forget 9 to 5, that's the old days. You have to work overtime and work and work and commute to work. If you have to work 10 hours a day, then you have to travel 2 hours a day. And what enjoyment are you going to get for that? 2 minutes sex? No, 5 minutes sex. Oh, then it's worth it. Anityam asukam lokam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this material world is asukam. It's not a place of happiness. Someone says, no, it is a place of happiness. All right, anityam. It doesn't last. Now what's the use of it? I'm going to work so hard for something that's gone in 5 minutes. What kind of idiot am I? So at least they should consider these points. Persuade them there's Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna's. That's, we can discuss later. First thing is, this is not Disneyland. The Magic Kingdom where everybody dances and they're happy, happy, happy all the time. It's not. Anityam Asukham Lokam. It's a place full of miseries. It's a place full of misery. What are you going to do about that? If you're a serious person, I don't say a religious person, I don't say a pious person, I don't say even a spiritual person. If you're a serious person, you have to think about this. Otherwise, just go back to sleep and dream on. Just go back to sleep and in your dreams you can have whatever. But if you're a serious person, if you really want to figure out what's going on in your life and how to make the best of it, you have to think about these things. Janma mrityu jara jati dukkha dosha anudarshan. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is knowledge, part of knowledge. There's a list there. Beginning, actually, amanidvam. You have to be humble. I know everything, blah, blah, blah. Get off your pedestal, come back down to earth, and think about these things. I don't want to die, I have to die. I don't want to get old, I have to get old. I don't want disease, I have to get diseased. No, birth, I don't really want, but I've already got it. And whether there's another one, okay, well, let's say there's three miseries you can be sure of, and a fourth one, which at least is hypothetically in the picture. You have to take birth again. A serious person should think about these miseries. Dosh anudarshanam, one should always keep in mind these things, Krishna says, if you want knowledge. If you want to be a fool, think you'll enjoy forever. Because if you think about these things, you won't be able to enjoy. It'll spoil the fun. So if you want to enjoy, then be a fool. Bhagavatam says the Paramhansas and the fools are happy. Those in the middle are acutely aware of the pangs of material existence. So if you actually want to enjoy, either become a Paramhansa or become a fool. Prabhupada used to preach, where he started in New York, is in this area where there were all these drunks and Bowery, you know, really, and they were still around when I joined. And you'd see them. They'd like be bandaged up because they'd fallen and broken their arm or broken their leg, and they'd gone to some hospital and they'd fixed them up. And now they're like sitting around a garbage can where they've lit a fire in the winter. And they're drunk out of their minds, and they're singing. Singing means happy. Why are they happy? Because they're drunk. Because they're so out of touch with reality that although they're broken up and falling apart, although they're living in filth and suffering, they don't even have a place to sleep, they're singing. This is the fool. And the Paramhansa is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's happy. But he's happy because he's absorbed in the reality. They're happy because they're absorbed in the illusion. A thoughtful person should think about these things. Have a question before us. how will you reconcile the laws of karma and destiny? If things are destiny, then our reaction of previous karma is not considered. Is it destiny? Is it that destiny violates the laws of karma? No. Karma and destiny are essentially the same. I stick my hand in the fire, what's my destiny? It's going to get burned. It's going to get burned. That doesn't violate the law of karma, that demonstrates the law of karma. There's a reaction for what you do. I eat too much, I'll get sick. Because it's destined. You do A, B will happen. Then if you do B, then you may do C, and then D, and then E, and you'll get the reaction for that and that and that. Prabhupada sometimes quoted that man is the architect of his own fortune. So we create our destiny, not entirely independently. That's another rubbish. You can create your own future. Whatever you imagine, just believe in it, and the whole universe will rearrange itself to bring forward your desire. Just believe. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. I may believe that I can win the heavyweight wrestling championship. It's not going to happen. I'm a skinny little kid from, you know, always been skinny, always will be. And whatever I believe isn't going to change that. Believing is not everything. Krishna says there are five factors that bring about the accomplishment of an action. The place, the person who's doing it, the senses that he's using. If I have good sharp eyesight, I can see something, you know, from so far away. If I'm blind, I can't see anything. The endeavor, various kinds of endeavor that you make, that matters. If you don't endeavor, it doesn't matter who you are, nothing's going to happen. Okay? Daivam chayavatra panchamam. And finally, the personality of Godhead. You can endeavor all you want. You can have the right place and be the right person at the right time and the right everything and totally fail if Krishna doesn't approve. So Krishna says, the person who just considers four out of the five is a fool. One has to take into account daiva. Daiva is sometimes translated as destiny, but ultimately daiva means the hand of the personality of Godhead. Without his sanction, nothing. And with his sanction, even the person totally disfavored attains perfection. So, I hope that answers the question. It's a written one, so I don't know who asked it. Last comes when time runs out. It's,
Hare Krishna.
Hold on. Okay, we go by the rule of microphone. The man with the microphone gets to ask the question. Whoa. He's got the microphone.
Maharaj.
No matter, you may be the right person and you may endeavor and so on, but destiny favored him.
Maharaj, is social, economical, cultural, and other aspects of human development not interconnected with the spiritual advancement or emancipation of the whole society? Like
are not interconnected?
Like
I missed the first part. What is it that must be interconnected?
Is not the social, cultural, economic...
Social, cultural, economic, culture... That's all connected with spirituality. But if your culture is bad, your society is bad, your money is bad, everything is bad, still you can attain perfection.
Yeah, I mean...
Ahetuki apratihata.
Yeah, bhakti is ahetuki apratihata. So for a person who wants to practice pure devotional service, there is no obstacle as such.
No.
But in general, for the common masses in the society who has average person, is all these not factors not important? Or
they're much less important. The social factors, the economic factors, the cultural factors, this, that. You have people with ideal culture, ideal social situation, ideal everything, and they never become Krishna conscious. And then you have people who are coming from socially disadvantaged position and no money and no culture and no this and no that. What is it that makes them Krishna conscious? The association of devotees. That's the thing. It's having money is nice, having a good society is good, you know, fine. Without the association of devotees, nothing. Doesn't get to the point. And Kiratuhunandra Palinda Pulkasha, even people from the most fallen backgrounds, the most disadvantaged, the most poor, the most this, if they come in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord, Shudyanti, they become purified and attain perfection. Therefore, our Krishna consciousness movement can attract people from any section. If you're rich and successful and coming from a good cultural background and well educated and all of that, chant Hare Krishna and attain perfection. If you're poor and culturally disadvantaged and socially messed up and everything, chant Hare Krishna and attain perfection. Across the board, it doesn't matter. The material conditions are so, they're there, but they don't matter very much compared to this. If someone gets the association of a pure devotee and takes advantage of that association, everything can be achieved. Lavamatra Shadu Sangay Sarvashidhihoi. In one moment, association with a pure devotee. Nard Muni, what was his social cultural background? He was the son of a maidservant. He was the son of a maidservant. What is that? Who here is the son of a maidservant? Nobody. His father isn't even mentioned. Who was his father? Nobody knows who was Nard Muni's father. And who is Nard Muni? How did he get to be Nard Muni? He got the association of devotees. He didn't improve his cultural standing. He didn't go out and get a degree from IIT. He didn't come into a big sum of money. He got something better. He got the association of pure devotees, and he became such a person as Nard Muni. That's what it takes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Just a little clarification. So our endeavors to develop Varnashram Dharma or introduce Varnashram Dharma into the society is to give association of devotees?
Yes. Varnashram Dharma without the association of devotees is like a dead body. Varnashram means the structure for a good social body. Without the association of devotees, you have a very good dead body. Therefore, dharma sunustita pumsam vishvakshena katasi. You may perform your duties very nicely according to varna, ashram. Right now, it's all a mess. No one's following varna, no one's following ashram. It's all a jumble. But even if we come to the perfection, everyone's following varna, ashram. If there's no Krishna consciousness, it's useless. It's useless. So the Varnashram is very good. It provides a nice arrangement so that there can be social peace and progress and people can take advantage of it for spiritual advancement. But if they don't take advantage of it for spiritual advancement, Krishna consciousness, it's all a useless waste of time. Shrameva hi kevalam. And even if there's no Varnashram, if they come into association with devotees, chant Hare Krishna, Mukta Sangha Param Vrajate, they can attain perfection. So the Varnashram is just to create a favorable situation, but favorable situation, just like good land. If you have very good land, you can get very good crops. But if you don't plant seeds, you don't give water, you don't get anything. Just good land just doesn't do anything. And you fertilize the land and all of that, but you don't plant seeds, you don't put water, you don't get anything. And even second-class land, if you plant seeds nicely and water it nicely, you'll get crops. So Varnashram creates a favorable culture, but the seed comes from the association of devotees. And the water comes from the chanting of the holy name. Is that okay? You really want to ask that question? Yes. Preaching Krishna consciousness to faithless persons is one of the nama aparads. Prabhupada went to the West, all hippies, no atheistic culture. They didn't know anything about Krishna. Still, Prabhupada preached. Actually, Prabhupada, when he went to the West, first he chanted Hare Krishna. And by hearing Hare Krishna, people became receptive to hear what he had to say. Srila Jiva Goswami recommends, before you start anything, before you end anything, chant Hare Krishna. So then you create the favorable receptive mood. Then when you speak about Krishna, some fortunate people will say, yeah, that makes sense. We take some risk because we know that people are not all standing in line to become devotees of Krishna. But for Krishna's service, we take that risk. We speak about Krishna. But then again, we don't speak all the details of Krishna Tattva to the uninterested persons. We look for some favorable, they may have been hippies or whatever, but they were interested. There's a word, Shraddha. Generally, Shraddha means faith. One time, Prabhupada translated it, interest. Just like someone's come here, he's not one of the regular people who come, but they've heard something's going on, sounds interesting. That's, you can call that faith or interest. Because they could do something else. They could go somewhere else and then look for something else to do. But they have that much confidence that, well, I heard something's going on and it sounds interesting. Good enough. They're interested. What is this? They may not know, they may not have signed up, yes, whatever you say I'm going to accept, but they're interested. Fine. Srila Prabhupada called that submissive oral reception. You're open-minded, you're willing to hear, you have some interest, that's the beginning. Then if it sounds good, you become more interested. What else do they have to say? You become more interested? Well, let me try that. Very practical. We're not going to sit here and try to knock over a person who's determined not to listen. It's a waste of time. But a person may not at all be signed on to our idea, but if he's willing to give an open-minded hearing, good. Then we'll start there. Hmm? person who's determined not to listen, there's no use. Better go on to the next man. Another, well, let's see. We are now at 3:07, and we are done. Thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.